This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine you're in your home and you're going about all the business you usually go about in your home. I want you to consider everything in your day-to-day life, whatever that consists of. Morning, cup of Joe. Maybe a little breakfast time. Maybe the coffee gets the old juices flowing and you got to hit the head before you head to work. Sleeping, napping, reading, watching TV, putting together model airplanes, working out. Well, all the things you do in your home, and you're going through every single minute of your day doing these things only. Today is the day where at any moment, a 60-pound steel cannonball could come blowing through that house and you have no idea where or what it's going to do when it gets there. One of the things you and I can't comprehend, because it's you can't put yourself in the mind and the feelings of another human at another point in time, even when we talk about things like battles. And I know I have so many people who are veterans. I've been there, shooting at me too. I can understand it somewhat, but you can't put yourself in the mind of each and every person in every crazy situation throughout history. The life of somebody on a naval vessel has always fascinated me. Always. I mean, they say combat in general is 1% pure terror, 99% boredom. And having been there and done it, I will tell you 100% true. You're just trying to keep yourself from going crazy from boredom half the time, and the other time they're trying to kill you. That has to be magnified 1,000 times on board a naval vessel because, one, you're not on land. You're in the water on something that floats. If that something that floats ceases to float,
you're in a great deal of trouble. That aspect alone is crazy, isn't it? Would you think about it? Yeah, Chris said, imagine the paranoia with the U-boats in World War II. It's so true. It's so true. That's crazy enough alone. You and I love boats. Everybody, in general, people love boats. I've told you before, I love being out on the ocean, and in part because of the danger. You look out at all the water. You look over the side of the boat and look down. What's down there? How deep does it go? How strong's the current? Are there sharks under there? But that's on a fishing vessel in Florida. What are you thinking in the middle of the ocean on a naval boat going into combat knowing either I am going to go down or he is going to go down? And you know what? There's actually a chance both of us are going down. There's a chance as I look out and look down at that water, if I don't die on the ship, I'm going to end my life in that water somehow, some way. You remember the story of the ship, the Indianapolis, we did. It's that famous World War II story. Ship delivers the bomb. I'm not going into it today. Ship goes down, and the guys spend, I think it was 4 or 5 days in the water, getting eaten by sharks, dying of thirst, everything else, injured. And you remember the horror of that. I mean, the greatest nightmare of all time. But here's the thing. You and I only know the story of the Indianapolis because they're one of the very, very few who got found in time. Many, 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 many a sailor throughout the history of mankind ended his days exactly like the men on the Indianapolis did. You just didn't hear about it because they all died first. And that's only part of it, is the water. The other part of it when it comes to naval warfare, in whatever period of time you're dealing with for the most part, I realize pre-cannon it was more ramming of ships and stuff too, which is crazy. It's crazy to me. They used to put these huge metal spikes on the end of ships, and that was the plan. Let's just run into them. This is wild to me. But once cannon fire was invented, this is another thing that I find crazy about naval battles, naval life. Your life on a Navy ship, then and now, don't get me wrong, it's not the life of luxury by any stretch of the imagination, and especially back in the day, as we talked about extensively, that's hard living, man. Pre-heat, pre-AC, stuck in the middle of the ocean, that's hard living. You're not exactly sleeping in a Tempur-Pedic king-size bed. You are working your tail off. I mean, it's hard living. However, it's a heck of a lot better than being on land at war. When you're in the Navy, food may not be great. You're eating 3 squares a day. If you're not in the middle of combat, you're almost undoubtedly getting plenty of sleep at night. You know, it's life ain't the end of the world out there. Until combat time, when you would, especially in the era we're about to talk about here, combat time, you go from having a life that was rough, but okay, to you are guaranteed to be under point-blank artillery fire. That's insane to me to think about, that level of danger and fear that must have been going into your head. Think about an 1805, because that's the time we're going in, an 1805 sailing vessel, naval vessel, two of them, with 2, 3, maybe 4 rows of cannons all sticking out the side. You know, you can picture it. You've seen enough pirate movies to picture what I'm talking about. Coming up within 50 feet of each other, and everybody firing at the same time. What does that sound like? What does it look like? The splinters, the metal flying everywhere. That is unimaginable. That level of danger, that is just unimaginable to me. So let us rewind and set things up before we get to the famous Battle of Trafalgar. This is the situation on the ground in 1805. Napoleon is still king dog out there. I should mention, if that year, that era sounds familiar to you, you may be thinking, gosh, this is nagging at me. What's happening there? Remember Lewis and Clark? Remember how Lewis and Clark began their journey, or what kicked off their journey? A little thing called the Louisiana Purchase, where Thomas Jefferson bought basically the Western United States of America and bought it from Napoleon, who no longer had a use for it. Just give me some cash. Well, that's right about this time. Isn't it funny how it all overlaps? Napoleon fighting this war with some American dollars.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
I used to sell RVs. You know that. I was a sales manager for an RV dealership, and a huge part of doing that job was dealing with financing, getting people loans for their RVs. As somebody who has sold RVs, as somebody who has bought and sold several homes, please hear me on this. Having a good credit score is everything. Absolutely everything. And if yours is bad, you need to take steps to raise it. Do you know with ScoreMaster, you can raise your credit score? The average at ScoreMaster is raising your credit score 61 points in 20 days or less. That's incredible. Go to ScoreMaster.com/Jesse. That's ScoreMaster.com/Jesse. Go there today.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
Now, remember, Louisiana, it's not like it's important to our story. I just think it's really cool how many things we've talked about on the show and how they overlap with other things. Remember that Louisiana Purchase from Napoleon was 1803. Battle we're talking about today is 1805. Same time period. And the current situation in Europe is this. Napoleon has been slapping everybody around since 1793. You see, this man is uniquely talented, absurdly talented, gaining victories and then using victories to broaden his coalition. The man is outstanding on the battlefield. And we have this funny way of looking at history because oftentimes, you know, things work out in the end, don't they? Eventually, over a long enough timeline, things work out in the end. You and I are still sitting here today. We're all right. Every day above ground is a good day. Well, you know that whole Hitler thing? It's a great way to think about this. And how the Allies all came together to defeat this monster who's murdering a bunch of people and things like that. You know that whole Hitler thing, you remember? What if the Allies lost? Not just once, but then 5-10 years later, Allies got together again. All right, we really got to stop this Hitler guy. He's killing all the Jews. Let's go. And then lost again. What goes through your mind if you've taken on the Antichrist and you lose? Not once. But twice. We don't think about that, do we? It's World War II. America, all by ourselves, stepped up, beat those filthy Germans and the Japs. That's America. That's what we like to think about, right? What if the Allies lost? It's crazy. However, at 1805, at this point, Napoleon is facing not his first, not his second, but the third European coalition that's trying to put him down. They've already all got together twice and taken on this guy, and he's still standing there. Are you feeling like your whole world is going to end? Britain certainly was, because they were still standing there taking it. Now, Britain has this incredible navy. This is probably the crown jewel of the Royal Navy. We've talked so much about this throughout, you know, my shows. You know by now. It's an island nation. They prioritize navy absurdly, and they're really, really, really good at it. It's really funny because Napoleon has no use for it. Now, I say no use. He understands very well he has to have a navy. He has to have a very powerful navy. He wants to have a very powerful navy. His mind doesn't work that way. He's a land army guy. It's not only that, he's annoyed that there are places he's outdone and outfoxed. And these stinking dirty Brits are blockading his ports. He's not getting the trade. It's one of these things that drives Napoleon batty. He can't handle it. That's how Napoleon's feeling about it. I hate these people. I want to destroy these people. They had a brief year-long peace called the Peace of Aigna in 1802. It lasted a year, and immediately they're fighting again. This is not going to work. Napoleon and Britain, they're not going to just coexist side by side. It's one of these situations that's called, how would you say this? Untenable? How about that, Chris? Boom. Look that up. I just heard that word. I want to make sure it means exactly what I think it means. The situation is untenable if that word means what I think. Peace is broken. They're back at each other's throats. Now, here's how the navies are composed. One, the French Navy is not just the French Navy. It's the French and the Spanish together. If it sounds like France is kind of all over the place in this Napoleonic era, it's because they are. They're against them. They're for them. They're against them. They're for them. Oftentimes, not by choice. But the Spanish Navy and the French Navy is one thing, and they are facing off against the British Navy. Napoleon has 100,000 men, and he wants to land them on England and have them take England once and for all. Just get my 100,000 dudes onto the shore so I can finish off these pesky Brits who never have much of a land army. The problem for Napoleon is, as always, when you're dealing with Britain, how do I get them there? Pre-flight, in the era pre-flight, you got to sail them. There's the English Channel. You got to cross it. The English know this as well. They have their elite fleet patrolling that channel. You ain't just walking them across. And here's the real danger. If you're Napoleon, it's not losing a naval battle. It's losing all the men on the ships. It's one thing to have men die randomly in battle. It's quite another to have 100,000 men on ships that go down to the bottom of the ocean. That is a fast, devastating way to lose an entire army. You can't risk it. You have got to do something to get these dirty Brits out of the way so you can sail across the channel and land them on England. So here's what Napoleon comes up with. He has a man in charge of his fleet called Villeneuve, Villeneuve, Villeneuve. I've heard it pronounced 1,000 different ways. I'm going to call him Villeneuve today, but that's almost undoubtedly wrong. If you're going to email me and tell me the correct way, that's fine, but I really don't care. He's not an American, Chris. But seriously, you're welcome to email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And I should clarify about Villeneuve. Villeneuve is an extremely incapable commander of a fleet. However, to his credit, he never claimed to be a great capable commander of a fleet. He never claimed to be good at it at all. He's just simply the best Napoleon has. Now, I don't know about you, but as I was digging into the Battle of Trafalgar, and I find out the British Navy has all these elite commanders, and the French Navy doesn't have squat for elite commanders, I found myself asking, why? That doesn't make sense to me. Well, maybe you've heard of this little thing called the French Revolution. So have I. It turns out the French Revolution, as you probably already know, involved the execution of many of the higher class members of British society. We want to put it that way, higher class. The aristocracy, probably a better way to put it. Well, okay, that's fine. Maybe you're one of those people, eat the rich. I'm not, but that's fine. However, you do pay a penalty for things like that. It turns out the commanders, most of the commanders, the officers, the people with experience in the French naval service who not only command your ships, but train the next generation of officers to command their ships, you chop their heads off in the French Revolution. So Napoleon's putting together a navy, and he just doesn't have the long, seasoned, experienced naval commanders. He has people like this idiot Villeneuve, and he's got to figure out how to break this blockade, so he has a plan. Hang on. Need to have gold in your portfolio. You simply do. Because there's absolutely too much uncertainty out there. You know what's coming, right? Forgetting about the financial bubble I've already talked to you about, you know we have an election coming up. And I'm not going to drop any names here, but if the results of the election go a certain way, history shows the stock market reacts. That's putting it mildly. The stock market reacts. Get a gold IRA before that happens, before Election Day. And Gold Alliance, they make it completely easy. They're going to walk you through every single step, start to finish. Go to goldalliance.com/Jesse. That's goldalliance.com/Jesse. Make sure you're protected from trouble. Well, you can't shoot your way past the English right now on the high seas, and half the reason you can't shoot your way past the English on the high seas is they have all your freaking ports blockaded. You need to come up with a plan. And the man in charge of the British fleet, he is a famous, famous human being, and he's called Horatio Nelson. We will get back to that. That's one of only two names you really need to remember today. Villeneuve is in charge of the French fleet, Horatio Nelson in charge of the British fleet. Villeneuve and Napoleon come up with an idea. If we want to pull this massive British navy away from where they're guarding the British shores, why don't we head over to the Caribbean or the Caribbean, however you say it? It sounds weird, but the Caribbean is obviously a profitable British colony, as you well know by now, because you listen to my show, and it's not very well defended. The Brits have a reason it's not very well defended. We can't hardly stock the Navy up in the Caribbean when we're trying to fight off this short little tyrant over here in Europe. The French bust out, and they head for the Caribbean. Now, here is one of the funny things about ancient combat, especially ancient naval combat. Something you and I don't really wrap our minds around too much because of modern technology is they didn't leave a note with the Brits on the way out of town saying, "We're heading to the Caribbean." The Brits see the French break out, and Nelson doesn't have any idea where they went. He thinks they might have gone to the Indies. He thinks they might have gone to Egypt. In fact, he heads to Egypt first. Egypt is absurdly profitable. Trade routes need to stay open. Nelson's all, maybe they went down there. He finally figures out they're on the way across the ocean, takes off after them, and it's just this long, brutally slow naval plodding thing. However, they don't pull enough guys out to actually open up the English Channel. These Brits are not stupid. I don't think we'll be sending the whole fleet over there, no. Napoleon now, frustrated, very, very frustrated, decides he's going to abandon the invasion of Britain, and he's just going to take this huge army, and he's going to move them to Austria and Russia instead. Fleet makes its way back over to Europe, and now they see each other. And here's one of the things I want you to understand. Horatio Nelson is in charge of the British fleet. The British ships at this time, they were made for a fist fight. They were short and squat and strong, built like tanks. They're built to blockade in your people, because I know if you want out, you've got to come butt right up against me and we'll have a good old-fashioned fist fight. The French ships, they're French and Spanish, I'm just going to call them French ships, are long and fast with sails. They can move, really, really move. It's one of these real, people love this battle because it's such a prize fighter thing. It's such a, it's a Muhammad Ali dancing around the ring, light on his feet, versus Joe Frazier. He wants to get right up in your face and left hook your jaw into outer space. You need to think of the Brits like Joe Frazier, the French like Ali. Except the French don't have a commander like Muhammad Ali's brain. They have Villeneuve. The Brits, however, they have this Nelson, and Nelson knows exactly what he wants to do. Nelson wants to slam into this French column in the center of it and the rear of it, essentially cutting them off from the front of it. That's what he wants to do. And he wants to, and I've got to try to explain this to you, it's going to be easy, bear with me, he wants to cross the T of the French. And this is what I mean by crossing the T. When ships sail, whether civilian, naval, or otherwise, in general, you need to think of them as sailing in a line. Now, they spread out a little, but they're sailing in one long line. There's a line of ships. All right, that's the vertical part of the T. What you want to do, and what they want to do to you in naval warfare, is become the top part of the T. You want to cross their T, which will allow you, if you picture it, you can use the broadside where all your cannons are, all your broadside guns, to shoot at all their ships. They can hardly use any of their guns to shoot at you at all. Maybe a few guns up front. Your rear guns are completely useless if somebody has crossed your T. And what's wild is this did not change once we left the era of sail into eras like World War I. They're still crossing the T, period, trying to cross his T. Naval warfare, it can get boring almost, but It's really all about maneuvering. I mean, so much of it's about maneuvering. And when I say maneuvering, think of the vast ocean distances. Now imagine that in nothing but sail-driven ships, and you're going at 2 miles an hour. You know you walk at 3 or 4, right? Unless you're a hobbit. 2 miles an hour. Think about that. Think how grindingly slow that is. And this is what's wild in this era, and the era of cannon before the huge naval guns that you can picture now. Not only can you see each other, you can see each other a long, long, long time before you're actually fighting. You're going to wake up in the morning and look across the ocean and see the French Navy there. You're going to try to maneuver yourself in position and fight them and all these other things. It might be dinner time before the first cannon shot. How are your nerves doing for 7 or 8 hours as you await getting your artillery blown? Imagine that. I just can't wrap my mind around that. Now, Horatio Nelson knows what he's doing. As I said, Villeneuve does not. Horatio Nelson wants to cross their T in two different places. Like I said, two different columns. One of his columns, his second column, it's going to, if he angles it right, cross the T in the British rear. Horatio Nelson's column, to his credit, he's smashing right into the center of this thing. And when I say him, I mean him personally with his other ships. I think that's so friggin' cool. Could easily have held back, stayed back in the flagship. I'll get some orders from there. Just doing good, guys. Keep it up. Ooh, that looked like it hurt. I wouldn't know. I'm back here sipping brandy and staring at maps. Not Horatio Nelson. Horatio Nelson sends you guys in. He's going in. And he was basically born for this. His father was a captain. Grew up on naval vessels, and you know how that goes. Born for this. He'd forgotten more about commanding naval vessels than Villeneuve would ever know. And the plan, it works to perfection. They slam into the ships in two different places. And we need to discuss the cannon fire here for just a moment.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
You know you're going to have some car trouble, right? I am not wishing it on you. Believe me, I'm not. It's just, it's always going to happen. At some point, you're going to have car trouble. They don't make them that last forever. And when you have car trouble, gosh, those bills, what it costs to get one fixed is just staggering. Go to carshield.com, check out their wide range of protection plans because they can save you thousands of dollars for covered repairs. There's a reason they're America's number one auto protection company. And they even give you the freedom. You choose your favorite mechanic or dealership. They're not one of these protection plan companies. Oh, you have to go to Jack over 50 miles away. No, you can pick. Go to carshield.com. That's carshield.com. Do not forget to use the code Jesse. And remember, a deductible may apply.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Nelson Now, this part's going to get controversial, so before I get there, let's set up the canon part. Cannonballs aren't all cannonballs. The movies make that way simpler than it actually was. One, even in this era, understand that cannons on ships were way bigger than cannons on land because you can't move a heavy, heavy, heavy cannon on land. On a ship, you can carry around a heavy cannon. On land, your cannonball is shooting 10, 12-pound cannonballs. On the ship, 50-pound cannonballs. That's 60-pound cannonballs. 30, I mean, that is huge. When you consider what 30 pounds is, if you have dumbbells in your house, pick up a 30-pounder, now form that into a metal ball and fire it into the house next door out of a cannon. It is absurd. And when you think about the damage that does on the other end to a human being, it's gruesome. Horatio Nelson, at this point, as he's the commander of the British troops, is missing an eye and an arm in his life from previous naval battles. You go into one of these naval battles enough times, you're coming out of it dead or missing vital parts of your anatomy when you're throwing metal through the air like that at that range. But again, it's not just the balls. Please be mature, Chris. Please be mature. I'm trying to, please. They had a thing called chain shot. Chain shot is two smaller balls. We're not going to be able to do this if you keep this up, please. Two smaller balls held together by an iron rod or a chain, and they would shoot that at the sails, at the masts. When you think about what that would do when shot out of a cannon, what they're trying to do is shoot down your sails so you can't move anymore. Trying to hit, what's the best way I can put this, the huge stick that sticks out of your ship with the sails on it, that's what they're trying to hit with the chain shot. Essentially, it turns into a flying chainsaw. And they have anti-personnel ones where they just fill it up with wee little balls that essentially make it gigantic buckshot. Picture you and your 10 buddies trying to operate a cannon on the deck of a ship, and the opposing cannon 50 feet away opens up full of deck shot. How's your buddy look now? Nelson slams into the middle just like he said he would. And those short, squat British ships start simply pummeling these French and Spanish ships to dust. The French and Spanish initially are making a real good show of it, but they're being outgunned. And part of the reason they're being outgunned is they got their T crossed. One, two, the French Navy, the Vanguard, the guys at the head of it, they're not involved in the fighting, right? Because they're out ahead. He claims it was the winds and whatnot. He doesn't really turn around and come back. He just keeps on a-sailing. And it was a real point of disgrace after that. But the Brits start blowing the French out of the water. Blowing them out of the water. The final casualties at the end of the Battle of Trafalgar were like 1,200 for the British and 6,000, 7,000 for the French and the Spanish. They're just shattering these ships. But at one point in time, the big man goes down. You see, the French, they were very capable marksmen. Again, this was an excellent, excellent, I mean, the most powerful land force on earth by a long shot at this time. They had marksmen trained. One of them sets his sights on Mr. Horatio Nelson himself, fires a bullet. It was just a musket ball, but I'm going to call it a bullet. fires a musket ball, boom, slices through Nelson's spine and into one of his lungs. Nelson is in horrible pain, still trying to put on a brave face, gets carried down below where he slowly drowns in his own blood and lung fluid. But get this, this is the part of the story I love as we get ready to wrap this thing up here. Nelson, as he's dying there, dying around all that blood and noise and carnage and cannon fire and dying ugly. I mean, drowning is not a fun way to go, let alone drowning in your own lung fluid without the use of your legs. You know what Nelson's last words were? Thank God I've done my duty. Gosh, that is awesome. You need to protect your home title. I know that's not something you think about. And I'll be frank with you, until this happened to me, it's not something I ever thought about. But home title theft is the cybercrime sweeping the United States of America right now. And it is cleaning people out. Absolutely cleaning people out, because they steal your home title. They forge your signature on it. They take a loan out against it, and you have to pay that loan back. If you don't, they'll evict you from your home. That's real. That's happening in the United States of America. And unless you have Home Title Lock, you can't stop them. But Home Title Lock will stop them. Go to HomeTitleLock.com right now. Register your address. See if you're already a victim. You might be. While you're there, sign up. HomeTitleLock.com. And do not forget to use the promo code RADIO. That gets you 30 days of free protection. Remember, that was the third European coalition. And no, this was not the end of Napoleon. He went on and fought for quite a while after this. But here is a fact of life, a fact you and I have got to accept. And it's hard to wrap your mind around. We've had it so safe and so nice as a country for so long, for a lot of reasons, economically, militarily, geographically, we're very well set up here. But it is a fact of life. Real danger is coming to our shores one day. That's not a guess. It's a fact, because history tells me so. I don't know from who, from where. It's a fact. When that day comes, how many Horatio Nelsons do we have left? We need to talk about that. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.